Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Johnnies and Jumbries resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all as theirs also was. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Verses 1 through 16, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Father, thank you, Lord, for being El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. Thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Thank you for being our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Thank you, Lord, for the fact that you're sovereign over our lives, over the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. Thank you for the privilege of being involved in the wonderful work of spreading the gospel and building your kingdom in this world. Father, help us to recognize that even though we're in the last days, that you've equipped us and called us to do your work, and that you've given us all we need to go forward in victory as we simply hear your word and your spirit and follow. Help us to be an obedient people that are bold and committed to passionately running after you each and every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're continuing to receive and are gathering stories now to play during our October Share-a-thon, which comes up next week. We'd like to hear from you. If American Family Radio has made a difference in your life, or has God used it to encourage you and your family in your daily walk with the Lord? Well, if so, again, we're hoping to hear from you so that you'll share your listener testimony, and you just might hear it during our Share-a-thon. The number to call to share your listener testimony is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. And we would ask that you please take time to pray for our Share-a-thon that comes up next week. We very much desire your prayers because, again, it's by the grace and the power of God that God is able to use a radio network like American Family Radio. And we need your prayers because, again, everything is spiritual warfare, absolutely everything. And it's good for us to know that some of the most powerful warriors on the battlefield are prayer warriors. So we'd very much appreciate your prayers for the network as a whole, for our Share-a-thon, and please pray for the Hour of Intercession broadcast in particular. Also, please take time to go to our website, AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. We'd like to encourage you also to download our AFR app as well, so that way you can take us anywhere you go. And of course, keep in mind that if and when you happen to miss one of these broadcasts or any broadcast on American Family Radio, you can go back and listen to the podcast at a later time on the website. Hope you'll do that as well. Also, always stay up to date in the latest going on in our culture and in the culture war from our One News Now News team. Use the One News Now mobile app as well. It neatly categorizes news and articles from the One News Now website in an easy-to-find format. And keep in mind, the One News Now mobile app is free, and it's available for download from your phone's app store. Hope you'll take time to do that. We're blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Pastor Brian Blount. He's the author of the book, Putting Jesus on Display. And let me just share briefly, his book indicates that Brian he spent the last 20 years equipping and training individuals, teams, and churches in healing and power evangelism and prophetic ministry. Brian and his wife, Janine, they're senior pastors at Crestwood Vineyard Church in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, where they live with their 6 children, including triplets. Brian, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Joseph. Thanks for having me on your broadcast this morning.
An honor to have you as well. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment, just to anything further that our listeners might need to know about you that might be helpful. Please take time to share that now.
Yeah, so again, like you said, I married a beautiful wife, Janine, for 22 years. We have 6 kids. The last, our 4th baby became triplets, surprise to us. And so, our life has been full of excitement with that. The triplets are now 12 years old, so that's been an exciting time in our life. I also am bivocational. I have a graphic design company. My wife and I helped plant our church about 6 years ago. And we've been in the Vineyard movement for about 20 years and been living our life in such a way where we just want to display Jesus wherever we go. And that's our heart, is to see the body, to just rise up and be the body, to be Jesus with skin on. Mm-hmm. And so, that's just a little bit about me.
Okay. Now, the title of your book is Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power. Explain to our listeners why that title.
Why that title? That's a great, because I think the thing is that we, as the church, have to remember we are the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the place, if we can begin to think that again, that we represent Jesus on this earth. And the world is desperately looking for Jesus. They're not looking for religion. They're looking for Jesus, the one who can bring freedom, that can bring life. And so as the church, we need to be Jesus with skin on. We need to be that incarnational reality of the King of Kings and the kingdom of God coming, because that's the glorious life, the gospel manifested through his people, through his church. That's how the world comes to the saving knowledge of Jesus, is not just by our proclamation, but by our demonstration, living out. Jesus went about doing good and healing all who are oppressed of the evil one. And so that means that the church is meant to put him on display. As Jesus came to put the Father on display, we have been called to put Jesus on display. And it's not just lip service. It's the way we're living each and every day, that every moment is a sacred place. It's not sacred and secular. It's like when you go to buy milk, when you go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas station, when you go to the movies. Mm-hmm. Those are all opportunities for us to put Jesus on display. So it's living our life in such a way that people see the light of Christ in us, mm-hmm. through love and through power.
Okay. Well, if someone who maybe they've just heard of your book, but they've never read it, and they said, well, Brian, I go to church every Sunday, and I try to be a nice person, and I smile at people at the grocery store, and so I'm a pretty good person, so why would I need to get a book like yours? What would you say to them?
Well, hey, it's not just about being a good person. It's about being a righteous person. Like, Jesus made us righteous. He made us whole. And there's an identity that he's given us, that we're no longer in Adam. We're no longer in this place of a darkened soul, but those that have received Christ, we have become this ambassadors of righteousness. And so we need to begin to see ourselves as not just, holding on until the Lord comes back, but we're to be people that are seeing the activity of the kingdom. And this is meant for the everyday believer. So it's not about us just going about and just living good, quiet lives. It's about us being the church. It's us being Jesus with skin on. It's us displaying the love of God. And so when we realize, first of all, Joseph, that it's the love of God, It's that Jesus wants us to know how much the Father loves us, that He sent His Son, that He came and He died on a cross for us. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world, for the world was already condemned, but He came to give the world life. Mm-hmm. And so when we begin to realize that we have been given this life and that Christ has lived in us, and that, you know, it's His hope that comes out of our life, that begins to give us, one, identity, and gives us purpose, and gives us passion to live out, that we have a job to do, and it's not just sitting around, tearing and waiting for Him to come. It's living a prayerful life of praying and intercession, and walking out those prayers of intercession in everything we do.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read a short passage, and then we want to delve right into the meat of the book. In fact, I want to talk about the very first chapter and how you introduce it. But this, I'm reading from Mark chapter 16, starting at verse 15, and it says, "And He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In My name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover.'" Well, Brian, I think that's a very apt scripture that helps to introduce kind of the message of your book. And you open it by sharing about you were in a context where you heard the Lord say to you, "Jesus, I want to see the deaf hear." Explain to our listeners that story.
Yeah, so I was in Brazil and with Randy Clark and a good friend of mine, Blaine Cook, and I was on the bus and we were going to a meeting, and that night I had just been, in my heart, I just this prayer began, "Jesus, I want to see the deaf hear." And this has been a prayer that I prayed for lots of different times, just because I wanted to see that the manifestation of His presence come. And that night we walked into the meeting, and we had been in Brazil for quite a while, and I hadn't ever seen in a church literally a deaf section. So this is the first church we'd been where they were ministering to the deaf. Mm-hmm. And my heart just leaped out, and I knew the Lord wanted to do more that evening, that He wanted to open the ears of the deaf. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I had two problems. One is I didn't speak Portuguese, and I don't, you know, do sign language. Mm-hmm. And so here I was in the meeting, and I'm praying, and this lady comes up to me named Anna, and she goes, "Do you need my help to interpret?" And I said, "Yes." And so she begins to help interpret for me, and I'm helping her, coaching her how to pray for people, and she's seeing all these healings, and she is just, I mean, undone. I said, "Hey, do you think we can go over to the deaf section? I would love to see if they would allow us to pray for them." So as we're going over there, this was crazy, Joseph. So this is when I knew God was about ready to do something. Anna walks over to the deaf section, and she begins to do sign language. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, what are the odds of somebody that comes up to you in the middle of a meeting and can translate, you know, she speaks perfect English, she's translating Portuguese, and she can do sign language.
Hmm. Praise
and
God.
And so I was like, "Lord, what are you going to do?" And so what ended up happening is Anna and I are there, started praying for this one lady at first. And as we prayed for her, the presence of God just comes on her. We prayed three or four times, and her deaf ears open up. Mm-hmm. She had been born deaf, you know, from birth. Mm-hmm. And so she was just, I mean, overdone. I mean, crying. Here's the beautiful thing. She's pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going, "Oh, my gosh." You know, she's going to hear her baby's voice when mm-hmm. that baby's birth. Mm-hmm. But what she said then is she goes, "Do you think we can, you know," in sign language, she said, "can we pray for my husband? He's also been born deaf." Mm-hmm. And so we get her husband, and we have her help us pray for her husband. His deaf ears open up as well. It was the most beautiful scene. That night, Joseph, we saw 6 out of 12 people that were born deaf, completely ears opening up.
I'm going to jump in here, Brian. We're coming up on a break, and we'll pick up right there. Our phone guest today is Brian Blount. He's the author of Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power. We'll be right back. Music from Planet Shakers, the song The Anthem. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Brian Blount. He's the author of Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power. Brian, if someone listening wants to get the book, how can they get the book?
Yeah, they can actually go to Barnes & Noble. They can go to Amazon. Any major Christian retailer they can go to get the book.
Okay. All righty then. Now, who would you recommend get the book?
I would recommend anybody that's a believer, because this mm-hmm. is the job of every believer is to put Jesus on display with love and power. So I just want to encourage, this is not just for someone that, for evangelism. This is to live out a lifestyle of putting Jesus on display. So it's for every believer who has a passion and desire to see the gospel through their life. So if you're young, you're old, it's for anybody.
Okay. Alrighty then. Okay. If you'll pick back up on the story, you were sharing about the young lady who was pregnant, had just been, the Lord healed her and she began to hear, and God used her, reached through her to heal her husband as well. Would you pick up there?
Yeah. So it was beautiful. You know, her deaf ears opened from birth, and we equip her to help pray for her husband. His deaf ears open up. And so now you have this beautiful couple that's going to have a baby within a few months, and they're going to be able to hear their baby, you know, when it cries, its first words. I mean, it was just an unbelievable release of healing. But it didn't stop there. We ended up having that same couple help us then pray for another couple, and it just went on and on until we had six people who had been born deaf from birth completely healed. Mm-hmm. That night in the section, there was 12. I honestly believe all 12 would have, their ears would have opened up. The only thing I think that, and the reason that didn't happen is the other six had already left because the night had gotten too long.
Oh,
but
okay.
It was a powerful, powerful thing of the display of God's presence and power. And it wasn't just bringing healing to just their physical, but can you imagine the emotional and the spiritual and the destiny that opened up and the intimacy for husband and wife now to hear and... It was just, in fact, one of them, this was beautiful. Her, one of the ladies we prayed for that was completely deaf, mm-hmm. Her husband, who's hearing, comes up and whispers behind her. Mm-hmm. She turns around and hears her husband's voice for the first time. Mm-hmm. You talk about a tear-jerking moment.
Praise
God. I mean, it was beautiful. It was beautiful to see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Brian, say someone is listening and they're thinking to themselves, Brian, that's a wonderful and a powerful story, but I'm not an evangelist. I'm not an apostle. How could God use somebody like me as a little believer to heal the sick? What would you say to that person?
Well, I'd say this by another story that I was doing a meeting in South Africa, and I was, you know, there in South Africa, a lot of it was, you know, built on this place. Well, I believe in the man of God or the woman of God, you know, they can do this. And mm-hmm. I remember literally saying that to the group. I said, listen, I know you believe that I can do this, but here's what the Father's wanting you to believe, that you can do this. Mm-hmm. And many of you don't believe that, but I'm going to prove it to you tonight that Jesus wants to heal through the ordinary person, and not just through the ordinary everyday believer, but he also wants to use even those who are suffering in sickness or suffering in something, you think that God would never use you. And so to prove that, now this came out of my mouth, and I knew this was a gift of faith because it just came out. I said, if you have a deaf right ear, would you come forward? These two ladies come forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, all right, now this is what's going to happen. I said, as these two ladies lay hands on one another, their deaf ears will open up to you as a sign that God wants to take the ordinary, everyday believer and use them to heal the sick. Now, Joseph, when I said that at first, to be honest with you, two things hit my. I was like, oh God, I hope that was you. You know, to Lord, I'm okay to be humbled right now. But it was just one of those things that just came out. And so the only way we're going to know if it's the Lord is to see it happen. So, Joseph, the most beautiful thing happened is these two ladies laid hands on one another. Their deaf ears pop open in front of everybody. Mm-hmm. And here's what happened. This message comes to the church that God wants to take the broken, the everyday individual to heal the sick. And that night, what we did is we had the church, we equipped them to pray for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Our whole team didn't pray. We just coached them. And that night, 100% of the people that got prayed for were completely healed.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the church praying for the church, the broken praying for the broken, the sick praying for the sick. Mm-hmm. And that was the whole message, that everybody's been called to do the work of the gospel.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Brian, I want to ask if you'll take a moment now to pray for listeners in it, because I think there's some believers listening today who are probably thinking to themselves, man, that just sounds so wonderful. I just don't really see how God would use somebody like me to do that. But, you know, I think in listening to the message and the mission behind your book, it really sounds like you're wanting to help any believer that wants to be used this way by God to understand that it's God can, through the Holy Spirit inside of them, God can use any one of us to do signs and wonders. Would you pray for them to have ears to hear as God speaks to their hearts today?
Absolutely. I just want to pray Isaiah 35:5. The scripture says, then the eyes of the blind will be open and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Father, I pray right now the spiritual ears and the spiritual eyes would open and we begin to see the gospel as we read through the gospel in the book of Acts. This was our manual. This was what believers have been called to do. And everything that has tried to give us a form of godliness and has denied the power, Father, I pray that that stuff would be broken and we begin to be believing believers and begin to see that this is what we've been called to do. It's not for a special few. It's for every single disciple to put Jesus on display with love and power. Holy Spirit, would you come right now and just manifest your presence? Let people begin to feel that, and would you stir truth in their heart and let them see and let them hear what you are saying to them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian.
Yeah.
Brian, in the second chapter in your book is entitled Jesus' Mission, Message, and Ministry. And I don't foresee that we'll have time to go through each title of each chapter, but I do want to touch on some of them. Would you share just the gist of the message behind chapter 2, Jesus' Mission, Message, and Ministry?
Yes. So Jesus did. He came with, he had a clear mission, he had a clear message, and he had a clear ministry. And this is the great news, that he came to model something for us. His mission was to not only come and to bring us into right relationship with the Father, but he came with a mission of that. He was quoting from Isaiah 61, which we read in Luke 4:18. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And so the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Jesus for a specific purpose, and that is to bring healing, to bring deliverance to the captive. And his mission was simply that. It was to empower the everyday believer. His message was that the kingdom of God was at hand. The kingdom is so close and so near that anybody can just reach out and grab a hold of it. And that should be our message too, that his kingdom has come near. And his ministry was one that was meant to be duplicated. Mm-hmm. And that's how Jesus duplicated through the 12, and then we see the 72, and this is what we've been called to do, is to walk in that place of Jesus' mission, message, and ministry. In that chapter, I go into it more in depth with each of those points, but mm-hmm. Really kind of the whole thing behind it again is the church needs to get back to the message, ministry. In ministry, the ministry and mission of Jesus, and if we'll stay on point, we'll see the kingdom of God break in.
Hmm. Hmm. Okay. Well, you know, in your book, you share just a number of wonderful illustrative stories that help us better grasp the message that you're sharing. I do want to ask you this specifically. You point out in one of your chapters, it's entitled "Living As You Go," living and as you go lifestyle. Share what you mean behind what the meaning behind that chapter.
Absolutely, this is probably really the crux of the whole book. Is living the as you go lifestyle. And what I mean by that is in Matthew 10:7-8, it says, "As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of God's at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse those who have leprosy, raise the dead. Freely receive, freely give." But the first part is as you go. That means literally as you go about your journey or as you go about your day, as you go about the mundane things in your life that you do every single day, whether you're going to just go into work, you're going to the mall, you're going to the movies, you're going to the drive-thru, wherever you go, this is the place to live out the lifestyle of Jesus, that our mission starts when we wake up, mm-hmm. you know? And so if we begin to think that way and renew the way that we're thinking, then every place that we go becomes an opportunity for Jesus to break in through us. Mm-hmm. And we just have to have eyes to begin to see that. So it's the as-you-go lifestyle. So it's not just going on a mission trip. It's not just going on an outreach. It's as you go to the grocery store, as you go to buy milk, if we could begin to do three things, learn to look, listen, and respond to the Holy Spirit, we'll see the activity of the kingdom come in great power. And that looking, listening, responding is, that could be through God giving you supernatural revelation, but really, mm-hmm. here's the thing where it hit me, is when I just begin to see people, begin to notice people, notice their needs, or just, you know, they get highlighted and see someone maybe, they seem like they're having a bad day, and they just need to be encouraged, or I mm-hmm. overhear a conversation. I look at those as invitations from Jesus to go and put him on display. Mm-hmm. And so that's really the thing about that is if we can begin to think that way, mm-hmm. that it's not just for the evangelist, it's for the disciple. In fact, here's what Jesus said. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, you will receive power, what, to be witnesses, mm-hmm. right? To declare who he is, and not just in words, but in power. Mm-hmm. And so that's for all of us, and it's the as-you-go lifestyle mm-hmm. for every believer.
Okay. You know, something that comes to my mind is the story of when Jacob sleeps in the night while he's on his way to his uncle Laban's. He sleeps and God gives him a supernatural dream, and he calls the place Bethel because he clearly understands it was a supernatural moment where it was like heaven and earth touch. And it sounds like what you're saying is every place can be Bethel for us as we walk with the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. I think if we do this, what Jesus says, he says, repent and believe the good news of the gospel. Mm-hmm. Now, what we think sometimes of repent is, okay, you know, I've repented, I've confessed my sins, you know. No, what he's saying is change the way that you're thinking. Mm-hmm. And that's every moment of our life. We need to change the way that we're being conformed. We're being conformed to the image of the world, or being conformed to the image of Christ. Mm-hmm. And so if we begin to think that way, Lord, I'm righteous, I'm holy, I've been put on this earth and displayed Jesus, that there's a message of hope in me because Christ lives in me. He's the hope of glory. And we begin to believe that message, then what happens? We start to turn from what we were thinking, and we begin to believe good news, and we begin to live out the good news of the gospel. So it really starts with the changing the way that you're thinking mm-hmm. and begin to think like Jesus.
Okay. Well, share some more stories that illustrate what you're saying, what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Well, one of the stories that I love is this. Is I was one night, I was just driving to go home from, it was kind of late, and I happened to call a friend of mine on the phone, and as I was calling him, I heard this beep, 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 and I said, hey, are you like at a grocery store or something? He said, no, I'm at Walmart. I said, really? And as he says that, Joseph, I have this vision that just comes right in my mind, and I see a picture of a black woman about 5 feet tall standing in front of him. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what's going on? So I said, hey, is there a black woman about 5 feet tall standing in front of you? And he goes, oh my gosh, yes. And he goes, what do you think the Lord's saying? I said, I don't know. I'm just as surprised as you. He goes, I think the Lord's saying something. Ask the Lord. So I did. And the Lord said, there's something going on with her lower back, a sciatic nerve. And so my friend goes and taps the lady on the shoulder and said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? And at first, she's like, she didn't want to be bothered. And he goes, ma'am, I just want to let you know something. I'm a Christian. And she goes off on him, like, oh, you're a Christian? You want to talk about that? He goes, my dad was a pastor. You want to go toe-to-toe? And she starts yelling at my friend. And the phone goes dead. And I thought, oh, my gosh. I just got my friend, like, in a big mess, you know, and I'm just telling him what I saw. So I call back, and he's going, no, ma'am, please, wait a second. I was on the phone with my friend. He described you and said there's something wrong with your back. And it got quiet. Then the man that was there, her boyfriend, says there's nothing wrong with her back. And
Brian,
he says,
I'm going to have to jump in here. We'll pick up right there on the other side. Our phone guest is Brian Blount. He's the author of Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power. We'll be right back.
And he is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Oh. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves, yeah, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion and he is our prize.
Music of the David Crowder Band, the song How He Loves. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Brian Blount. He's the author of Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power. Brian, would you share with our listeners again, if they want to get the book, again, the title, Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power, how can they get the book?
Yeah, just so they can get the book by going to Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They can go to also my website, puttingjesusondisplay.com. But it's in any major retail right now that you can get the book.
Okay, all right. Where we left off, your friend was in trouble, getting in trouble at Walmart after you told him on the phone what you saw. Okay, pick up there, please.
Yeah, and so anyway, so he finally hands, when he said to the lady, he said, "Hey, my friend says that he described you and said you have problems with your back," and everything got quiet, and she said, "Let me talk with him on the phone." She gets on the phone, and I'm like, I said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt your evening." I said, "I was just driving. I had this picture I described to my friend." He said, "There is a lady like that standing in front of him," and I said, "There's something wrong with your back," and she goes, "I'm not going to lie to you." She said, "That's true." And I thought the Lord was just going to give me more revelation. This is what he said to me. He said, "Tell her I haven't forgotten her, I haven't forsaken her, and that I love her." And just she began to weep uncontrollably. And she began to open up. She goes, "Why then did God take my husband and left me with seven children?" And she just began to weep and weep and weep. And I said, "God hasn't forgotten you. He's seen you. He loves you." What was so amazing about that, and Lord healed her back, touched her, but here's the thing. She had gotten so lost in all this pain that she was there with another man. They were buying some booze. They were getting ready just to go and have one last hurrah, and then she was going to end up killing herself that night. But the Lord spoke, and through that confrontation, my friend pressed in. We spoke on the phone, and the Lord hadn't forsaken her, hadn't forgotten her. It touched that gospel, that seed that was in her, and she ended up just said, "God, I have more to live for." And he began to heal something in her heart. It was a powerful thing of just, that Jesus really wants to, he's really serious about speaking to us to bring healing. And here's the thing, the way that God is going to manifest or heal people is going to be through people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how he set it up. It's through the church. So it's going to be through our hands. be through our voice. It's going to be through, you know, us going and hugging someone, loving on somebody. That's how it gets spread. That's how the gospel is manifested, is through ordinary, everyday believers.
Well, Brian, would it be accurate to say that, like, in your book, your book is to help believers to understand that sometimes fear comes into play, sometimes awkward situations come into play, but we boldly obey, and that's how God is able to use us. Would that be correct to say?
Oh, absolutely. And I talk about this a lot in my book, and I talk about this place where I still, even to this day, after doing this for 20 years, I still feel fear. Mm-hmm. I still feel 1,000 butterflies hit my stomach. And I pray that that never goes away, because that keeps me in that place of, Lord, I know it's you. You know, and the enemy will try to come and minister fear to us to keep us back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but here's the thing. If we'll press in through love, we'll press in that God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but love, power, and a sound mind, that sometimes we feel that the enemy is just trying to keep us at bay because he knows that we're about ready to plunder his kingdom and bring freedom to that person on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so we just got to understand that, are we going to believe in the fear, or are we going to believe in Jesus and let mm-hmm. that override? You know, we can't tear down every stronghold, every thought or imagination that, you know, builds itself above the knowledge of Christ, and we're going to make it obedient, right? And
mm-hmm.
we're to push past that.
Mm-hmm.
So fear's going to come up, but we don't live by fear, we live by faith.
That's right, that's right. And so the book will actually help believers better understand both how God can use them and wants to use them as he uses you, correct?
Absolutely, and I'm telling you this, from whether you're going through a crazy trial in your life, you know, pain, you know, just one of the things I talk about in this book is a lot of my own personal story. How the Lord called us to plant a church and go pray for the sick. Probably one of the hardest times of my life.
Mm-hmm.
My son just went from a normal kid to a special needs kid overnight, got a crazy disease
mm-hmm.
that made him like that. My mom gets stage 4 melanoma cancer. I get a rare disease where my esophagus quits working, and the Holy Spirit invites us to plant a church, and he says, go pray for the sick like you've never prayed for the sick before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this makes no sense, but it makes absolute sense in the Holy Spirit. Because he said, Brian, don't get caught up in the chaos that's around you, but be caught up in the commissioning that I've given you in the kingdom, and to go after this. And so, I've seen, you know, through this whole thing, just I've seen people that are, you know, from my kids at age 5
mm-hmm.
to people 85, I've helped equip that didn't ever believe that they could do this. I've taken them out, and I've shown them that anybody can do this. I'm convinced it's for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
We just haven't been taught to hear the Lord this way. We haven't been taught to. We've just been basically taught how to live in the four walls of the church, but we need to live outside the four walls of the church and be Jesus with skin on.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Share with our listeners, define power evangelism.
Yeah, power evangelism is simply this. It's the empowerment of the Holy Spirit coming upon the believer to equip the believer with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So the gift is the gift of the Spirit, right? And so
mm-hmm.
he comes and he gives us, you know, healing, prophetic words, deliverance. It's his power coming upon our weakness so that we can demonstrate the gospel not only in proclamation, not only just saying, hey, Jesus loves you, but demonstrating that by through your hands or through your voice proclaiming truth and seeing a demonstration of his kingdom breakthrough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the power of God that comes upon us. Acts 1:8, you receive power to be witnesses. And so everyone really is a power evangelist
mm-hmm.
in that respect,
whether we realize it or not.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you also, Brian, you have a unique message you shared earlier to women in their 50s. Would you share what you were sharing with me earlier?
Absolutely. Actually, the message is to women and to those at 50 and above. So if you're a woman and you're 50 and above, I guess it's double blessing.
Okay.
But the Lord spoke this to me, Joseph, and said, Brian, I'm going to pour out my spirit in an unprecedented manner upon women and those 50 and above. So the enemy has come against these two groups, and the church has, you know, partnered somewhat with that. we often tell people in their 50s and above, hey, we don't really have room for you anymore. It's for the young people. And, you know, what I read my Bible, it's all generations, young and old. Mm-hmm. And so we absolutely need those that are 50 and above. God is saying to you, look, I have need of you. And a young generation, honestly, is looking for fathers and mothers. And there's so much that God's put in them in their history that we need that. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that, and then women, we, you know, sometimes we have partnered with the lie of the enemy, and we have said, you know, women, you can only do so much in the church, but I believe some of the greatest evangelists, teachers, signs and wonders are going to come out of women and those 50 and above. Mm-hmm. And if you are in that category, I'm saying, listen, God is calling you, and he's saying to you, listen, I have need of you. Don't care what the world or the church has said, but Jesus has put in you his love and his gospel, and you're to declare the gospel, the good news of the kingdom, not by just demonstration, or not just by proclamation, but by demonstration. And I want to pray for you. If it's been okay, just if I pray for those that are 50 and above and for women, just to be encouraged to believe this message of the good news. And
mm-hmm. Please do.
Would that be okay?
Please do, yes.
Okay. Father, I just thank you. You told me that, Lord, to release that word upon women and those 50 and above, and that you were going to meet them in an unusual way, that you were going to do some of the greatest signs, some of the greatest wonders, some of the greatest leaders, teachers, pastors, evangelists would be in those groups. And I pray that they would be refreshed right now and see themselves, not as the world sees them, not sometimes how the church sees them, but how you see them, and may they be activated to do the work of Christ. So, Father, let your presence and power come upon them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Brian, yeah. We don't have but just a few minutes left. I want to ask if you'll specifically share with our listeners why that we have to get beyond dealing, don't be hindered by feeling awkward about doing what God is calling us to do. Why is it critical that we get past being feeling awkward as well as fearful?
Well, hey, listen, this is the point. We have to understand that is Jesus greater? Is his message greater? And oftentimes that's the thing that we have to wrestle with, and that Jesus has called us to have a new way of thinking, mm-hmm. and to begin to, we believe is not just by what something you say, believe is by what you do. Mm-hmm. And the Holy Spirit's given us power to be witnesses. That's the world where we're not relying on our own strength or own ability. We're relying on his ability. My good mm-hmm. friend Robbie Dawkins says this, and I love this. He said, if we'll make ourselves available, God will put his ability on our availability. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the truth. And so if you just put yourself in a situation, think, I can't do this, you're at the right place. Mm-hmm. Because it's the power of God. It's not the tradition of man. It's not the strength of man. It's the might and power of the Holy Spirit demonstrated through weak individuals. Mm-hmm. That's the glorious thing.
Mm-hmm. I want to ask if you'll pray for believers to really grasp the truth of what you just shared, because that's it's simple, but it's powerful too. And important for us to grasp, because there's so much of God's work that needs to get done, and we need to be available. Would you pray for listeners in that regard?
Absolutely. Holy Spirit, you're the one that brings a truth. You're the one that enlightens our hearts. I just pray this message of your gospel would penetrate every heart, every listener, that they would begin to believe, be believing believers, and begin to take the word and see that this is not for somebody else. This is for them. And that they've been called to put you on display with yes. love and power. Holy Spirit, will you cultivate them a fire and a passion? And may they feel your love, God. I know when we receive your love, Lord, we can really demonstrate your love and power. So, Holy Spirit, would you come? And I just say, Lord, as freely as I receive, I freely give and impart to those that are listening. And I just say, Jesus has need of you. Listen to his call and step up and just put him on display with love and power.
Amen. Amen. Oh, so Brian, so every listener really should get the book, right?
I think they should. I think they'll love it. There's lots of stories in here of not just the exciting stories that I talk about a lot about a pain, the suffering. I talk a lot about when we miss it. The whole gamut I talk about. And so, but it really will build faith. It will build a place of just encouragement to stand and to know who you are, your identity in Christ, the mission of the gospel, to live out a lifestyle of this, mm-hmm. to learn how to look, listen, and respond, and to know that we've been created to do good works.
All right. Brian, thank you so much for being with us. Again, the title of the book, Putting Jesus on Display with Love and Power. Thank you for being with us today, Brian.
Thank you.
All right. And again, I would encourage every single listener to get the book. I think it'll bless you and help you to begin to be used by the Lord in some wonderful, wonderful ways. Hope you get it. Thanks for listening. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.